So, from your childhood then, what did you play? Tell me a little bit about childhood games you might have played.
Childhood games when I was in school were seasonal, more or less. Is that a surprise?
We had a marble season. We still had certain seasonal things in
my day.
Yeah.
Our games were non-adult led. And I think we learned them from the older children. We must have learned them from the older children in the playground.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, you know, the girls played certain things. I'm not absolutely clear on what the boys did, but a lot of it involved football.
Mm.
We were so lucky with the space we had. Oh,
mm-hmm.
You know, I realised only working in schools how fortunate we were, because we had a big tarmac playground and we had a field, which I think we were allowed into. Under some circumstances, we were allowed into the field, which is now, I think, I don't know what's built around the houses, probably. But we had, you know, like a season, if it was freezing, which it often was, you know, it had slides
mm-hmm.
in the playground. If it was snowing, you know, obviously that was seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the year kind of evolved so that there was a time when everybody had skipping ropes.
Right, yeah.
Girls, I'm talking about.
Yeah, we had a skipping one, the marbles one. And for some reason, there was a sort of trying to maintain a handstand longer than everybody
yes,
else.
Yes, against a wall.
Not against a
Not
wall.
Not against a wall.
No, ours wasn't. But it was called Yorkie for some
reason.
Oh,
I never heard of that.
And that's what people used to say when they did it. They used to say, Yorkie. And when you did the sort of kick sound, you were supposed to kick your legs up in the air. Try and stay up longer.
Where the Yorkies?
I don't know. I really don't know where
you came back from school with expressions that I had never heard.
Mm.
And that's a difference of like...
Yeah.
The one 50 years.
The one I remember that used to puzzle me when I was a child was Ha Neck.
I remember that.
But I remember Jane.
I never heard of it.
Well, Jane was talking about that in Wishaw. Mm-hmm. She was saying they used to say redneck to people, like when you were embarrassed. When you were blushing. And I think this kind of Ha Neck thing was like an extension of that somehow.
The ha was sort of, aha, you have a red face.
I suppose, but it was almost as if people learned it kind of from somewhere else and used
distorted it slightly.
Well, they didn't seem to have, you know, the actual kind of focal point of the embarrassment had been lost somehow. It was like, you know, the joke's on you kind of thing.
Right.
But not
you should be blushing.
Well, yeah.
It's on you.
Yeah.
We call that a big riddy.
Uh-huh.
Somebody's got a big riddy when they got a red face.
Right.
Red being red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, he's got a big riddy, you know,
mm-hmm.
because he was coy or because he was embarrassed or whatever.
Yeah. And to me, a redneck is, you know, something American to do with...
But a redneck is to the sun, isn't it?
Well, I think of that as sort of American
They're
term,
not embarrassed
but
at all.
Yeah.
They're not embarrassed. That's to do with the sun and a white guy's neck, isn't
but this
it?
Was like pointing at somebody and saying, redneck, like you're embarrassed, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
This is making fun of you.
Yeah, we would do that in adolescence.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, I don't think we did
that
early
that's
on.
That's what I mean, really.
It was often to do with somebody, fancying somebody, you know. You got a big riddy when she came in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, you know, games were concerned, now that I look back on it, probably... One day somebody thought they would take their skipping rope to school.
Mm.
And then it became the skipping season.
Yeah, because the marbles was a bit like that. You know, a couple of people would start off and before you knew where you were, the sort of the whole kind of grassy bit of the playground was taken up with people
playing
marbles.
What were the rules for you?
I wish I'd charted that.
You had to hit the other guy's marble three times. He said, onesie, twosie, threesie, keepsie. And on the keepsie, you got it. It was yours. That was your winning.
That's only one marbles game.
That tended to be how they played it.
And it was how many of the other guys' marbles you could get.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
A bit like chips. Poker.
Yeah.
But
I seem to remember gambling all of my marbles.
I wish I had.
You lost your marbles?
I wish I had kept a record as a child. Can you imagine a child sitting keeping a record? I wish I'd kept a record of the seasonal shifts of games. Because it actually might have just been as simple as somebody thought, I'll take my skipping rope today. Yeah. And then it became the thing.
As a bellwether. Yeah.
Apart from the weather.
Right. Yeah.
Weather with an E. Apart from the weather, where, you know, like I said, sliding you did when it was frozen.
Yes.
And conkers you did when it was conker time.
We never had any conkers.
Did you not?
So we couldn't do that.
But we went and got them from elsewhere. We haven't got conkers here, but we went and got them.
We never had conkers in school.
Really?
Yeah.
Never, never, never.
I think of it as a sort of, you know, English public school thing.
Oh, we always had conkers.
Because I read about, you know, the Jennings books and things like that with our conkers.
Everybody in my school, we all had conkers.
Could you tell me what the rules for that would be? Because once again, they didn't have that.
Again, there would be many variations like marbles. But you put your, you tied a knot in a string and you threaded your conker, which would be a horse chestnut, on. And there were cheaty people who baked them or something to make them very hard.
I did hear about that, yes.
But I seem to remember people with a string with a lot of conkers on it that they had won. How do you win them? Because you break the other guy's conker. Maybe they were just a reserve conker. And you went, you took a hold of your conker and you went whack to the other guy's conker. And if you broke his conker, you were the winner. But what was the prize? I don't know. And sometimes you had a brilliantly good conker that beat other folk. What was the prize? Just the glory.
Glory.
Which children wouldn't understand. Sorry.
And when you, and skipping rope, I mean, in the US, of course, there are skipping rope songs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Here, much more complicated and sophisticated than ours, everywhere.
Right, I have no idea about that.
I could never cope with the two skipping ropes at once business.
I've never seen that. We didn't do that. We had to be an ender. Was the person that was standing at the end turning, right?
Right.
And I wasn't very good at skipping. And I liked being an ender.
Right.
I liked being in the game,
yes.
But not particularly skipping. So I was quite happy when it was me. If you made a mistake, you had to be an ender.
Right, yeah.
And I quite liked being an ender. And you turned the rope.
Yeah. No. It was all that running in while it was going.
Running in when it was going. And there were rhymes that you had to know. You know, you knew the rhyme, like, Polly in the kitchen doing some stitching, in comes the bogeyman and out goes she.
Right.
So when Polly's skipping, and then she... Did you have that?
That sounds familiar.
So Polly ran out, in came the bogeyman came in, which was the next skipper, and they both skipped, and then out went Polly, and the person who had been the bogeyman then became Polly in the kitchen doing some stitching. And the next person had to run in, and if you stopped the rope, you had to be an ender. And they had funny ones. They had, I can't remember them now. There were a variety of rhymes, and it always led by the rhyme that you did. You didn't just go in and skip. It was all songs and rhymes.
Right.
Things that kids have to be taught now by specialist people that come in and teach them playground games.
Well, it's funny you should say that because, you know, again, Jane was talking about her wish of childhood and that they had played this game called, what she called the pancake game.
Oh, you told me.
Which had this really sort of ritualised thinking about, you know, who played the role of the pancakes, and there was a witch, and there was a spanking girl. Ooh. It all sounded very...
dubious.
Well, it was very... It sounded like it must be something, you know, that was sort of older and maybe had a different connotation at a different time or something.
A fairy tale.
It's in, you know, the Opie's books and childhood games.
This is off the subject slightly, but did I tell you, I was in the supermarket one day, and there was a very nice wee boy... with his mum, and she was getting apples, and there were these, like, what are those American ones that are so lovely? Macintosh red. I don't think they were Macintosh red, but they were bright red, you know, beautiful red apples.
Red delicious.
Something like that. And she's putting them in the bag, and he said, "These are lovely apples, you know, these look lovely, lovely red apples. Are they poisoned?" And I said, too many fairy tales. Because they looked so good.
Mm. Are you a witch?
But I don't know what we were saying about the games, yes, skipping thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
Well, I never did. I mean, Jane.
Did you ever play Peaver?
Yes.
Did you draw them on the playground?
Yes.
I was going to say peavers because that's what we called it.
Uh huh.
Peavers plural.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Uh huh.
And sometimes they call them beds. We because you drew a bed.
It, we would have called did it. Did you do peavers? That?
Hopscotch, the Americans so called it.
Yeah, we would have called it peavers.
Plural.
Uh-huh. And the stone that was tossed, if you happened to know it, it was a rather obscure word, would have been called a peaver.
That was a peaver. Oh, did you call it a peaver in America? Well,
really?
The just the stone that was tossed. But once again,
do yes. you know
that,
yes.
that, like the word that covers the end of your shoelaces is an aglet. It's not a very commonly used mm-hmm. word. Most yeah. people would have just said, this is a stone.
Oh, but you've heard, you knew the word peaver.
Yes.
That is not, mm. I'm sure that's not known in England.
Mm.
I think that must have come via Scotland.
Mm-hmm. What about English? You know, when you were in English schools, did they play hopscotch? Would they have called it?
They had already, that? By the time I was teaching, they mm. had lost a lot of playground games.
Oh,
they really didn't know. In fact, one day I took a class to another school, and this other school, I think, had somebody coming in
mm.
and showing them playground games, and they came home back to our school
mm.
wanting to play these playground games.
Right. Yeah.
Their culture had lost them,
uh-huh.
and all they did was, well, I have to say, our school was very, very well provided. They had built a wall, for instance. You know, there were no school walls to kick a ball against.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the windows used to be so high
mm-hmm.
that you could kick your ball against the school wall.
Yeah.
Now they're great big picture windows.
Right, uh-huh.
And you couldn't kick a ball against them without getting into trouble.
Yeah.
So the school where I worked in England had they built a wall out in the playground.
Mm.
And the kids could use it as a goal.
Right.
Or they could just play against it. That was another thing I was going to tell you about ball games. There was a season for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from football.
Yeah.
Which seemed to go on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the...
Did both genders play
no,
football?
No.
Or was it just the
never
boys?
In my day.
Because we used to play all together. Like the whole...
Yeah.
The whole sort of class would just get together.
My kids...
Same for me.
The children yeah. I taught mm-hmm. would have played football
mm-hmm.
or any ball game.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was a child... The girls didn't play football, just did not play it.
Mm-hmm.
And we still played, you know, we brought our balls, little balls to school, you know, little rubber balls. And you would play against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be the school wall or the you know, the wall at the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you threw it at the wall and you had all these rhymes.
Yeah.
That you said and you did different things. You know, you threw it at the wall and you turned around and you threw it under your leg and you turned around. You do all these different things. And there
really?
Were wee rhymes that you said.
Mm.
But there was one where you could buy a very expensive ball on the end of a piece of elastic. Do you think they still get those?
Don't know.
A ball and a piece of elastic. And you stood it against the wall, back against the wall, and you went like that, batted it off the wall. Or you lifted up your leg and hit it underneath your leg. And there were various permutations you could do with this ball. But if you didn't have a ball in a piece of elastic, you put a ball in a sock, a long sock. And we were all playing against the wall with our long socks.
Under your leg.
And what were some of the rhymes? Do you remember either?
I remember against the wall, when you threw it against the wall, you said... Because it was just an ordinary throw, you said, plainy, plain
yeah,
throw,
uh-huh.
plainy, caught it, clappy, meant you threw it and clapped,
you clapped your hands, yes,
rolly, you threw it against the wall and rolled your hands,
uh-huh.
and backy, and when it was backy, you threw it and clapped your hands behind your back,
plainy,
clappy, rolly,
you.
And backy, right, excuse me, right hand, you threw it with your right hand, and caught it with your right hand. Left hand, same again.
Mm.
Right hand, left, oh, can't remember. Right hand, left hand. Touch your heel.
Mm.
Touch your toe.
Mm-hmm.
Touch the ground. And billy-o. meant you turned round before the ball came back. Yeah. You burrowed round. What is the word? Birrell or burrow?
Birrell.
You barreled round and you caught the ball before it came back to you. Mm-hmm. Plainy, clappy, rolling backy, right hand, left hand, touch the ground, touch your toe. Touch your heel, touch your toe, touch the ground, and barrel.
We also had about 18 variants of TIG.
Oh, so did we. So did they have now.
You know, like they have now. Aeroplane TIG, yeah, where when now. You were TIGged, you stood with your arms out. Do you know? Side.
Yeah.
And if somebody was going to free you, they had to run underneath your arm, and then you were free and you could go back into the game.
That is probably the most, what's the word? Sorry. That's probably the most enduring game that I've seen in my career is TIG.
Right.
Because I don't know whether they've been introduced by adults, but children will find wherever, you know, whatever the environment is, they will find a TIG that's a variation.
Right.
There was one school I was in where it was drain TIG. If you were standing on a drain.
But they have a lot of drains.
I couldn't touch you. Yeah, I don't know, you know, you make your own rule for the TIG. And the cowboy TIG, which may have been adult, you know, thing, when you were TIGged, you had to get down like a horse, and you only got released if somebody came and sat on you and went, yahoo, or, you know, did a thing with their arm.
A pretend lasso over your head.
Yee-haw, you know, whatever, and then you could run loose again.
Right.
And our aeroplane TIG, I think you had to stand and they had to go through your legs.
I thought it was under your arm. Yeah, maybe there was different.
But children,
ways of doing it, but
even although
under your arm was easier because faster, you get away.
But even although I, as a grumpy old woman, I will say they can't make up their own games. They will make up a game of TIG.
Mm-hmm. The one sort of I suppose kind of TIG variant in a way was played with a tennis ball. When I was in school.
That king ball?
It was called Chippy.
Chip, crack, broken.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
played
They would do that when they were starting it. They would bounce the ball three times, you know, with the chip, crack, broken. And then the person holding the ball, everybody else would scatter. The person holding the ball would then try and hit somebody else.
That's right.
And it could get quite violent.
Would you believe we actually had rules, sort of rules for that as well? Where it had to be sort of below the belt. But that may have
a
been
lot
just
of our boys were quite.
Oh, they hit you anyway. Yeah,
where they hit you.
It may have been that I know I keep coming back to this, but I think the fact that people had been regimented over a period of time. You know, parents had been regimented. We still had national service.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's there was a degree of this is how you do it. You do not digress. This is the way it's done.
Right.
And people objected if you digressed. And they would say, I'm sorry, but you did not do that correctly.
Right.
And there was a certain degree of formality about some games where I can remember there was a thing called King Ball where I think we played it with a football, actually. I can't remember. I can't remember whether it had to be a football where the whole TIG thing was... Do they call it tag?
You call it tag.
Got tag in America. If you hit the person, it was aimed, supposed to be aimed low. So you hit them on their legs. You didn't try and get them on the head.
Right, yeah.
But that was almost sort of self-imposed.
How did that work exactly?
You were the it person.
Right.
What do they call it? He? What do they call that?
It.
If you were it, you had the ball. And everybody ran about, and you threw the ball at them. It's like instead of touching them, you threw the ball so it got there faster than you could get. So you threw the ball at them, and they then either lots of different games. If you hit them with the ball, they became it. If you missed them, you were still it. You know, had to get the ball back and do it again. In Chip, Crack, Broken. I seem to remember if you were hit, how complicated was this? How did they keep a record? If you hit them once, they were chipped.
Yes.
If you hit them twice, they were cracked. If you hit them three times, they were broken.
Yeah, right.
How could you regulate that now? Because we would admit that had twice been hit.
So did we.
And would they admit it now?
Yes.
They said, Well,
there was no way of playing the game if people didn't obey the rules.
No, that's true.
You're sort of saying, you know, everybody was regimented, like, you know, it was all chaos and disorder afterwards. But in my day, you know, it was noticeably wrong when one of the boys deliberately picked on somebody that he didn't like, you know, and really chucked the ball at him.
Yeah.
I mean, that while I'm saying
so there was a degree of honour there too.
Well, it took place, but it was definitely, you know, frowned on. You know, there was an idea that this was abusing the
rules. But you know
rules,
something? So. I'm going to say this again, and this is going to make me sound ancient, but frowned on actually mattered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of the people that I know wouldn't care if they were frowned on. Because it would be win, you know, frowned on, who cares?
See, our games were never about winning either, because we didn't have time, actually. We used to play in the breaks, and we never really finished things on time, so there wasn't a sense of, you know, victory over other people, particularly.
I'm kind of heartened.
It was getting involved in it.
I'm a little bit heartened that you were still playing games like that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because it seems that, you know, in recent years, those have been lost, and children have to be shown how to play a playground game.
Is that universally true?
I don't know. I really don't know. Mm. But once they are shown it, they often adore it, and they want to do it all the time.
Yeah.
But often it does seem to depend on an adult presence, you know, because somebody will cheat or somebody will do something that's not in the game. And it seems to need a mediator to say, well, you have to agree on rules before you start the game, you know. It seems to be everything is so...
That's true of people playing board games and other things, you know.
Well, that's different, though,
isn't later
it?
In life, you still get people
but
that
children
want to
used to, but children used to evolve their own games, you know. Like I say about the drain thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's still true.
Mm-hmm.
That imaginative children will do that.
Mm.
But when I was out and I didn't do playground duty for a long time, which I think is sad in a way.
Mm.
The union doesn't like it, but I like it because it lets you see how they behave when they're unleashed.
Mm.
But it seemed to be all the game they could think of was, I run after you and I catch you.
Mm.
That's the only game they had in their head was... Mm. I run after you and I catch you, or I catch you and then I hit you. Or they didn't have the imagination.
I think you're unlucky.
And I'm afraid, I'm sorry to say, I think it's to do with being constantly entertained.
Hmm.
You know, this sounds really, really old, but if you don't have to make your own entertainment, that atrophies, you know, you forget.
I think we still did. I mean, I think we still spent a lot of time inventing games and... I mean, people used to sort of invent their own wee songs and things. You
Margaret,
know,
you're 30.
Yes.
I'm talking about now. No, I'm talking about children now.
And, I mean, I remember, for example, when I was a kid, just I'm talking about first grade, which for us would have been, I guess, P2 maybe, for you, P1 or P2. And
primary one.
Primary one or two, thank you.
I'm just making
sure we call them P1.
I know you do. I'm just making sure that Josh
and
is talking about
we are, yeah, wisely.
When you're about five.
And I was actually just past that. I would make it about six or seven. And
okay.
And one of the things that happened was that some people would be playing football, soccer, football, and other people would be doing their own things. And invariably, there would be a group of boys who would chase a group of girls.
Oh, yeah, boys chase the girls, that's what it's called.
Yeah, which is a very clever name, by the way.
Yeah.
And it also what happened to that was that there were two parts of it. You chased them, they squealed. Eventually, you caught them. And like the dog that has caught the car.
End of story.
End of story.
What do you do? Yes. There was no score kept or anything like that.
Mm.
But it was the playing of it that was the fun.
We had a thing
think our kids had that.
We had a thing called British Bulldog.
Ah, yeah. Was that running across past people?
I'm getting it mixed up with something else, actually, I think. What was the Red Rover thing as well?
Was that a running across past people?
You used to say Red Rover, let somebody come over.
Yeah.
And then they would run at a line of people who are all holding hands,
yes,
and try and break through.
Yeah.
And if you didn't manage to break through, then you became part of that line,
right,
part of that
right,
team.
Right. Great
and
game.
There were sort of two lines on either side, yeah, of the field. And so you sort of tried to
I'm very impressed.
Break your way through the joined arms.
I'm impressed they were doing that when you were at school.
Oh, yeah. I did a lot of those games when I was in school.
Because it seems to be almost, it's becoming a lost art. Mm. We were horrified at how few games the children initiated.
Mm.
Unless, I know when a teacher or somebody interested went out in the playground, you know, you could get them playing things,
mm-hmm,
but they wouldn't initiate it. And it seemed to be something to do with overload of easy access to games, you know, or what am I going to do? You know, they put out a bench in the summertime for the kids to sit and play cards or to play something,
mm-hmm,
because otherwise they wouldn't be able to think of anything to do.
Mm.
The playground. And actually, during that period, you know, when Laurie was talking about the time when that amazingly liberal regime was going on, which I have no recollection of, but what I was working with in England,
mm,
where, you know, don't make them do this and don't make
they
them do
that.
They
weren't allowed to teach spelling and things like
exactly
that. It was all very sort of
uh-huh
learned by osmosis kind
well
of thing.
I was in the position where my school was so small,
mm,
that we could actually give the children the option of staying in at playtime if they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going out, they yeah could go to the music area,
mm,
and they could play with the instruments.
Right.
Fabulous. And at the time, I thought, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sometimes you just don't want to go out and run around with people.
Yeah.
However, we then discovered that the same children were always staying in and not getting any exercise. But that was part of that extremely liberal movement,
mm,
to say, well, hey, you want to sit in a corner and read a book? You can do that, but we could only do that because it was such a small school.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah
you couldn't be aware of where everybody was,
mm,
for fire regulations, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of children going out and letting off steam was passé, you know. Mm. Let them do what they want to do during break.
My school just went out and bullied each other.
Well, exactly. And I thought, this is ideal. This
yeah
is ideal for the isolate. This is ideal for the child that really doesn't want to play competitively, mm, that just would love to sit and read a book.
My yeah brother received that as a punishment. He was very glad to
receive. Being kept in at playtime.
Kept in at playtime because mm he refused to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And
do you know they still do that?
Pledge of Allegiance, yes.
They still keep children in.
Yeah. But they
because
kept
it is a punishment.
And so
yeah
instead of going out and being bullied, he got to sit down and read a book.
Mm. Which
sounds
suited
like a good
him
deal
down
to
the
deal
ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why did he not want to recite the Pledge of Allegiance?
That's long and complicated.
He was a rebel, a really rebel.
Our entire family was like,
none of you wanted
really
to subscribe to anything as
that's
formulated
amazing
as that.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's another story.
That's another story. You stand up. And
can
you
I
try
hear
not
it later?
To disrupt it.
I'd like to hear that story. But we thought this was wonderful, so civilized. I still think it's civilized. You do what it's your break. Do what you want.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, that
and
nice
we had enough
yeah
people. It was a small enough group of children that you could have evacuated the school. It was easy.
Mm.
But you can only do that under those circumstances.
Yeah.
And then it got, you know, it kind of got to the point where saying, oh, this kid really needs to go out and run about.
Mm.
They really need some exercise. We're going to have to impose that.
Yeah.
So I had to start keeping a record of who stayed in and who didn't.
Mm,
you know, ridiculous.
Yeah. The whole idea that PE is supposed to give you exercise, though, I'm afraid I disagree with that very strongly.
Well,
because the amount of exercise that we ever got was in no way going to help your general health and fitness.
It's not like that.
And what
no
they would do is that, you know, the best you would get is being forced to run about in the cold, you know, first thing in the morning, usually in the rain.
Outside?
Which, yes, playing hockey, things like that, which, you know, this is not good for your health. I'm sorry, this
no
is just not how it's supposed
that's
to be.
That has moved on. That has moved on.
That was in secondary school.
I was, no, that's not that, you know, that's a wee while ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're very well, from what I've observed.
It was a lazily taught subject, yeah, though. They just kind of threw inclusive. You out in the rain.
They're very inclusive
get
now.
Get out of our hair for a while.
And they, you know, they try to make us attract. The kids do dance aerobics and all sorts of things indoors. It's very, very inclusive.
We've got circuit training as well, which usually makes you feel sick if you're doing it first thing in the morning. Oh, do 10 press-ups and things.
That's secondary.
Yes. But that is badly. It was badly taught. It was badly done, I think.
I think they feel
put
their
way. Put me off it altogether.
The unfortunate thing is they feel their way, but that might be they feel their way with a generation.
best story I heard about that was somebody who had the option in his school of doing various, you know, sport and games was quite a broad general subject and included things like playing chess.
Oh, and so please.
He would go for the board games option and get away from it. I know, but neither is getting hit in the shins in the rain for 20 minutes. It's not exercise either.
I don't know what it's like in secondary now, but I am filled with admiration. We had people coming from, we had people coming from, I don't know who they come from, social services or whatever, to do stuff with the kids during school time and after school. Where they did aerobics and they did games and all that stuff.
If they taught martial arts or something interesting, I would have enjoyed it a lot better.
Well, I don't think they do martial arts in school time, but they do games, fun things.
Yeah.
You know, with a big ball,
enormously
big ball.
The worst of all, which I know was a plague for a lot of people of my generation, was the lineup.
Getting chosen.
You two, pick teams for this game.
Oh, no.
And it was always, you know...
Oh, that's horrendous. That's cruelty.
It was always very obvious which people were going to be the last to be chosen. I was often one of them.
They have
ritual humiliation.
Yeah, that's ludicrous because there are so many ways now separating. Yeah. You know, they number them.
Oh, say, I don't
want one, two, three, four. Mm. All the ones go over there, all the twos. And they're fabulous. I've sat in on their lessons because I had to. And I'm filled. These are not even teachers sometimes. You know, they're not trained, just teachers. And I am absolutely filled with admiration for the enthusiasm and the way they get them. They're sports people.
Yeah.
And they get these kids. And it's all to do often with taking part.
Oh, yeah. But when we did it in primary, I mean, I liked PE in the primary because we had sort of dance things and we played rounders and, you know, we played quite a lot of energetic games and it was quite good fun. Okay, there was still the lineup, you know, ritual.
Choosing
torture,
the team. But there's easy ways to do that. They should have figured it out.
Well, they weren't geared to that, you know. They weren't interested.
And they didn't care if you were the last one to be picked. You know.
No, I mean, there was a lot of bullying in that school, but it was mainly psychological, you know. It was mainly, you know, sort of mistreating people or ignoring them or sidelining them. There wasn't so much of the thumping
on,
but there was an awful lot of sort of silly hierarchical stuff that we could have done without.
Did you have musical chairs?
As a party game.
As
a party game.
Only
a birthday sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do
you? I was just curious because I think it's a very cool game. It's
because you don't like naughtyism either. Somebody has to be excluded each time. I don't like we used to avoid party games where people ended up being excluded. Because, for a start, it's not very nice. And then you've got all these people that have been excluded.
Sort of sitting with nothing to do.
And becoming nuisances.
Yes. Yeah.
In the olden days, in my day, they were just sat quietly. But now they don't sit quietly. Now they find something else to do. And we would, for that reason, would avoid any game that was exclusive. The best games were the ones that kept everybody going all the time. And I actually explained that to children once. We had a rounders game that I got out of a book. You know how in rounders you're out? Like cricket.
Right.
Well, this game was great because nobody was ever out. What you did was, it was like a box of balls, and it was fun if you had different sizes of balls, a limited number, you know, maybe four or five or whatever. And the kid, instead of having to hit the ball, didn't even have to have that hand and eye coordination, no naughtyism here, the box was there with the balls in it, and they chucked them as far as they could chuck them, and then they ran. And if they didn't get right round. Mm. They didn't score, but they still got right round, you know, eventually.
Okay.
They didn't have, they weren't out.
Mm.
The clue was the balls had to be all back in the box for the other team to stop them. They all had to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who was running was never out. You know, they just didn't get a point.
Yeah.
And then the next guy, track the ball. And although it sounds a little PC, the fact was everybody was always playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you didn't have these people being put out, hanging about, disenfranchised by the fence.
Yeah.
It's a bit like rather a metaphor for real life, isn't it? You know, you didn't do so well, you didn't get a point, but you're still in the game.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse for a child than a civilised, pleasant, normal child standing out feeling excluded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or an absolute little torag being excluded and saying, I don't care if I'm excluded, hitting things and knocking things down, and I'm going to make excluded the best thing that can possibly be. Which is what they do.
I was trying to think of what they did, you know, by way of punishment when I was in school, because the belt went out. They stopped using it in our school in the sort of early 80s.
Surely before you were.
No, there was one boy in my year who actually got it in primary one.
Was that big fat boy? Sorry to say that.
No, he was not a big fat boy. But there was actually somebody who did get it.
Whisper his name.
I cannot imagine. No, I cannot imagine what he did when he was 5.
To get a belt.
The idea of, you know, being hit with a belt when you're 5.
I know.
Is somewhat primitive, but there we go. And my school stopped using it about 1980, 81.
Well, that was there was a blanket, right?
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't actually. Wasn't we looked into this, it's sort of...
except for private schools, where it went down to 99. From...
And then it went on later in private schools.
Yeah. Oh, it's private schools. It's later in the 80s. Schmivet schools.
But the state schools, it was kind of mid-80s, I think, where they actually...
Well, there was a legislation.
But it got phased out, you know, it did get phased out. But the legislation wasn't until a bit later.
Is that right?
Yes.
Gosh, I didn't know that.
But they used to make people, when a child was being disruptive in primary school, they used to tell it to go and stand in the corner and face the wall.
Not in your day?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's true.
Gosh.
And I was just wondering if, you know... I mean, I suppose in your day they were much stricter anyway. You know, that they could actually...
When I was at school?
They could actually whack you when you were in school, so that was rather different. But...
Do you know? Do you know?
Mm.
When I taught as a teacher in Glasgow, and as I've said, in places where people were quite poor, children didn't need to be put in the corner.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, the worst thing a child could do, I can't even remember a discipline problem. And I'm talking about an area of Glasgow that was an overspill.
This is going back in time as well.
This is 1966.
Mm. Because, I mean, the more recent places where you've worked, you've seen quite bad discipline.
I've seen horrendous behaviour, horrendous. In primary school.
It seems to have changed.
Perhaps. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think I said to Josh earlier that you never felt, you didn't feel threatened.
Mm.
Going out to some of the most deprived areas of Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
And the children's behaviour, and you'd have class 45, you know,
grief.
Which necessitated a particular type of teaching. So there's no good way that you could say, okay, all the people, all the red
that's
group
a huge
do so
number
and so.
Of kids.
And, you know, just squeezed into the classroom.
Eesh.
But that was how it was then. Yeah. And everybody did the same thing, more or less, at the same time. And we had come out of college being told, you put them in groups and ability groups and so on.
Mm.
But it really didn't work very well in a class that size.
Yeah.
But the children were respectful because there was more respect for authority. I don't know what they thought was going to happen to them because the punishment was probably just being hit.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was bad enough.
Yeah. But I can remember kids just been told to go and stand in the corner.
I don't even remember ever telling a child to go and stand in the corner.
Mm.
I did use the belt, though.
But like I say, I mean, the school I went to, they didn't really have major sort of physical discipline problems.
But it's all relative.
And so they were all a bit wet when it came to dealing with anything disruptive. They kind of they didn't really know what to do with it.
They wouldn't expect it.
They usually reacted in kind of a,
But the thing is that children...
You know, an unthoughtful way.
This might start going in a bit grumpy old person direction, but children had... There were expectations of children's behaviour.
Right.
That don't exist now.
Mm.
Even when you were at school,
mm-hmm.
that you didn't answer back to the teacher. You probably didn't answer back to your parents.
Mm.
You know, if they said, go and do so-to, you didn't say why.
Mm.
You didn't say no. It was just understood that, that the person in authority told you what to do and so you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that doesn't exist, and that has a good side and a bad side. You know, obviously challenging authority is a very good side to it. Otherwise, we'd all be doing what we were told all the
working
time.
In a factory.
Well,
still.
Who knows?
But with no rights.
And that's why this country is how it is, because people challenge it.
Yeah.
But there comes a point, I think, where the power has shifted so much that you spend all your time trying to get people to shut up and sit down and do what they're supposed to be doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And really, what is your point? But those little children that I taught in Glasgow were seriously deprived in many ways.
Yeah.
But they still had that compliance yes, you know what you're talking about and I'll do what you say.
Yeah.
And there wasn't an illiterate one sent out of the primary, I have to say. They could all read by the time they left the primary school. But God knows what they were going to.
Mm.
You know, they're probably going to some... If they were going into work, though.
Yeah.
They were going into work at that time. Poor wee souls. Did I tell you about the minister when I was working in Maybole?
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, I was in the school on supply. And we went into this assembly, and it was a special assembly because the local minister was leaving. He was going to America, somewhere like Kentucky or I can't remember. But he was going there, and he was a young guy to me in some ways, except they had a grey beard. He had a grey beard and a grey hair, and he played the guitar. And he was one of these nice, you know, child-friendly ministers.
Yeah, not at all, sort of found himself.
Not at all. And they're all sitting there in their school uniforms, and lovely children. And he stopped to talk to them, and we were all sitting up the side. The teacher's up the side, and he started to talk to them, and he said, you know, looking at you, they all knew he was leaving, and he said, looking at you, it just reminds me of when I was at school, because the colour, I think it was red, the colour that you're wearing is just like the uniform that I wore when I went to school at Chermside Primary School. And I thought, oh, that was my very first appointment. I couldn't believe it. I hadn't heard it for years.
Right.
That was my first appointment in Glasgow.
You might have taught him.
Well, I thought, what age is he?
Yeah.
And he couldn't have been outside of that age group. And I'm sitting all the time trying to remember. I was only there for a year.
Right.
And I had a class of 45, and I could only remember the bad ones.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember the nicest kids. Couldn't remember the real trouble kids. And I thought, oh, who is he? Could I possibly have taught him at Chermside?
Yeah.
And as he was going out, he went out past us, and I said, I thought maybe you'd remember this, you know, on an off chance. Wilma's name was very unusual. And I said, do you remember Miss at school? Oh, yes, she was in the next room to me.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And I said, what was your teacher's name? He said, Miss
So it was you after all.
And I said, that was me. And he couldn't.
Have I changed?
Well, he really obviously wouldn't recognise me, but you know how you remember your childhood teachers
very clearly? Actually, yeah.
So he remembered me as Miss I didn't remember who I was, obviously, with my face. So it was weird. And we went into the staff room and a very nice woman said, "Oh, were you two at school together?" And I said, in a manner of speaking. But I was only 20.
Right. Yeah.
I was only newly qualified. Mm-hmm. I was only 20 when he would be about 9 or 10.
Yeah.
So the age difference was not that huge.
Well, no, that's true.
But at the same time, I had been his teacher. And he was off to... And he told me he had come the hard way. You know, he'd gone... I think he'd maybe had an alcohol problem, I don't know.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then come into the church, that route. He certainly hadn't come straight from school into it, because I still can't remember his name. I don't know what it was. I didn't know his name. Mm. It was an ordinary sort of name, and he obviously wasn't a bad boy.
Yeah. It's funny though, because you as a kid spend such a long time looking at these people and listening to these people, and you know.
But it's a long, long time for a child.
Yeah, yeah. So you remember them very vividly, though they might not remember you at
That's
all
right.
because they deal with so many.
That's
people.
Right. And you know, as they come through the school, there are so many that are similar. You see the same faces coming through all the time.
Yeah.
I met a girl in the street a few weeks ago. A great big woman.
Mm.
And she hailed me. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Mrs. you know, how are you?" Yeah. And I said, "Just run your name past me." And she told me who she was and immediately remembered where, I'd taught her.
Well, you worked in different places too, so that must be quite confusing.
That's right, I haven't been in the same place for a year. The kids that I've taught most recently, I've had them for such a long time. You know, I had some of them from primary 4 to primary 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really couldn't remember, couldn't forget their names.
Right. Uh-huh.
But kids that you've only had for, like, this particular girl, I'd only had her when her teacher was away.
Mm.
I was there on supply.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a lovely girl. She was a lovely girl in school, and she's a lovely girl now.
Mm.
And she was so sweet and friendly. But I couldn't remember her name.
Mm. Mm-hmm. We used to have a lot of people that kind of came and went as well in the classes. You know, they would move house, or they came from somewhere
Pupils.
Else.
Pupils.
And
uh-huh.
I don't know if that's happening more or not.
I
suppose it does.
Could remember. I think this is common. You know, you can remember the kids that went to primary school with you.
Uh-huh. We also had people from the travelling fair. That used to come into our school for like the 2 weeks that they were there.
I had that in Newbury.
Oh, really?
In Tadley.
Yes,
Tadley had, it was a gypsy camp.
Mm.
It wasn't really a bit,
originally.
Right. Originally. The funny thing about Tadley was, it wasn't like an English village, which is like the pub at one end of the green and the other pub at the other end of the green and church, you know, on the village green. Tadley was different because it had been, originally had been a gypsy encampment.
Oh, for goodness
And
sake.
So people came and went. It was very odd.
Right.
And every year we had a travelling fair.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And this wee girl used to come into the school every year.
Mm-hmm.
Was her name.
Oh.
And she had her own roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
And she was absolutely brilliant at maths.
Mm.
Rotten at everything else.
No.
Lousy at reading and everything else.
Yeah.
But fabulous at maths.
Mm.
She could do any sum, you know, she could give you a change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what she did a lot of the time.
For the fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Cadonas that used to come around.
That's right.
And they always set up in the big field beside the
that's
school,
right.
which is now gone.
And did the kids come to the school?
Yeah.
Oh,
they used to come along for that time.
Yeah.
There were two boys, I remember, that used to come along.
See, they would go into...
One of them was in our year.
They would go into whatever school, whatever, wherever they were nearest.
They must have been in so many schools.
Yeah.
You know.
But that must have been quite good, actually, when you think about
so.
It. Very... Maybe it wasn't as romantic as it sounds.
Mm, mm-hmm.
It sounds romantic, doesn't it?
Not much continuity, but
it's
very interesting.
Fun.
Move around.
And anyway, whatever's bad about it, you know, you can move on.
Yeah, yeah. If you really hate the teacher or something, yeah. You're only there for a couple of weeks.
Oh, people are horrible to you. Oh, I'm only here.
But they were kind of celebrities a wee bit. Uh-huh.
This wee girl was a
quite
celebrity.
Special, and everybody was kind of.
Everybody loves the fair.
Yeah.
Everybody loves it. Uh-huh. And especially children.
Yeah, and it was fascinating to us, you know, that you might be a kid that lived like that. And, you know, it was interesting.
Oh, yeah, I think that's quite ideal in its way.
Yeah.
But it's, it might have been a problem with their education, slightly.
Yeah, don't know.
If they were just going to carry on and inherit.
Yeah, if they're going to go into the business anyway, then they were learning their trade. Even
but like I say, the speed girl could not read that well.
Yeah.
But she was fabulous with money. And that's an asset.
Yeah.